All right, let's get started. So tonight on the third talk, I want to talk regarding anger, which we can refer to as the beast within. Now, I think all of us are familiar with this guy, the Incredible Hulk. I know when I was a kid, like of all the different superheroes, that's the one I wanted to be, because I was kind of a geek and getting beat up a lot, bullied and stuff, and so I thought, boy, if I could just be this guy where I could just become strong and beat up all the guys that beat me up, then that would just be awesome, right? But we're familiar with this idea that this guy, he's this mild-mannered guy, but then if someone pushes him too far, then he gets angry, and then he's able to kind of deal with all that. And of course, in the comics, the Hulk's a hero, right? But we realize that's not reality, because there can be times for us when we get angry and it's like we become a different person. This beast emerges and we do things. But once that anger subsides and we get back to normal, it isn't like people are patting us on the back and thinking, looking at us as a hero. They look at us as like a villain or a menace. And I think sometimes just seeing the people's expression on their faces when they see us after we've got angry, where just fear, or just where they don't want to be around us, like it's not a good feeling. And it's the thing is, like, I think all of us at different times we've experienced that and we regret it deeply. And so we want to learn to become free of that, that we want to really deal with what we would recognize as this beast within us, this other person that comes out when we get pushed beyond a certain point. And so we want to learn how, with God's help, to confront the beast within. And so there's different ways that our anger manifests itself. The first few we're going to look at is really what we would identify as being an externalization of our anger. And so in various situations we can exhibit anger in various ways. Rage, and that's just violent, uncontrollable anger where we lose our temper. And there's just different times where something happens and it's just like, it's almost like we go blind for a minute, just kind of thing, that just we see red and we just like part of us just wants to react and often we just lash out in those situations, and that can turn to abuse. Sometimes it's just verbal abuse where we just swear at someone or we call them all kinds of colorful names, sometimes it can be very, very hurtful. It's kind of the thing that they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, names can never hurt me. But we actually find out that's not really true. That sometimes what a person says can hurt someone deeply. And once it comes out of our mouths, we can't take it back. But as well, it can be physical abuse, where we actually inflict pain on someone else. We damage them. But then as well, we understand that sometimes our anger, we don't externalize our anger, we really internalize it. And that can be in the case of bitterness and unforgiveness, where we're mad at someone and we maybe didn't lash out at them, we maybe didn't have the opportunity to do so in the moment, but what they did to us, we just kind of stew in it, and think about it, and it becomes all we think about. And they might try to make things right, and we're not willing to make it right with them. We're just so angry with them, and it just stays with us. And that can lead us to malice and vindictiveness. Malice is the idea is where you're wishing bad things to happen to someone. Or if you hear about something bad happening to that person, like you're laughing or it makes you happy to see someone else have pain. And that's not a place we want to be at. But we find that because of our anger against someone, we can have that. So that's malice. And then vindictiveness is really where we're looking for revenge. We're trying to find a way to see that person get what we think is their just desserts. And sometimes it can really be sad where a person just kind of coasts along, but then they look for that opportunity when they can exact their revenge. It might be years later, but it's like they haven't forgotten. It's like, this is my chance, now I'm going to get this person and get them really good. And that's not a good place to be. But then as well, we find that our anger can really be manifested when we're always critical or negative of others, where basically nothing that anybody can do is right, that we always are finding fault. We're always getting frustrated and pointing out people's mistakes. That a lot of times we realize that's some deep-seated things within us, anger that we've internalized, and we're just finding ways to vent that by pointing out everybody else's failings. So those things are all part of anger in one way or the other. But we want to recognize, too, that the damaging effects our anger has. The Bible has much to say concerning our anger, and none of it is good. It says in Proverbs 14:17, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." That when we're trying to manage a situation, the worst way to manage it is to get angry. If we lose our temper, that usually turns what could have been an easy-to-fix problem into a big mess that you might take a lot longer to deal with. And so it just, when we can't keep calm, it really causes a lot of trouble. This is in Proverbs 22. It says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, with a fierce man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." And so it's the idea of it that someone that has a problem with anger, it is a snare to their soul. That it's a way that they're always going to get caught. It's a trap for them. It says in Proverbs 25:28, "He hath no rule over his own spirit, like a city that is broken down without walls." It's like the idea that you're defenseless. You have no protection. And especially when we think in terms that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that really it's like he knows what our buttons are. He's going to see that they get pushed, and he's just going to give us defeat after defeat because we struggle with being able to rule our own spirit. "And an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man abounded in transgression." We're going to get up into a lot of different fights, and we're going to lead ourselves into a whole lot of other mistakes and sins and problems when we have a problem with anger. And so we see that. We understand what the Bible is saying with it, that this is not something that we want to continue to have in our life. But as well, we realize in our daily lives, just seeing the results of our anger, what it can lead to. A big one it can lead to is the destruction of relationships, where when we get angry with a person, especially when it's one of our kids, that it can really affect them long term. It's the thing is, things that we say in anger, a lot of times we don't mean it, we're just kind of venting, but we can't take it back. And if we didn't mean it, we shouldn't have said in the first place. But it really can hurt a lot of things when we get angry. As well, there's different times it can lead to loss of employment, where we get mad at the boss, we get mad at a coworker, mad at a customer. All those can lead to being terminated. And it's a thing, learning to be able to control ourselves. It's important, because sometimes we don't understand or realize that we need to deal with a problem until it affects our pocketbook. And sometimes that's what's necessary, is when, okay, this happened and I lost my job because of it, I have to deal with this now. Sometimes it can be criminal charges, where we get mad and punch someone out, they charge us with assault, and then we have to go through the courts, be on probation, follow these different things. Sometimes it can, if we're chronically angry, it can lead to compromised health. If you want to have more trouble with your heart, if you want to put yourself more at risk for having a stroke, that being angry is consistently is a way to do that. That they've even found that when you're angry a lot, that it actually starts to weaken your immune system. And so it's somewhere we really want to recognize this is, it isn't just damaging the people around you, it's damaging you too by having a problem with anger. And as well, it's a loss of enjoyment of life where you're mad about different things that have happened and that becomes your whole focus and you kind of, you're blinded to all the good things that happen in life. That it just, you become fixated on those things and you just, it can make you just, where you just poison yourself off of any good things that you could have just because of your attitude. But then as well, anger sometimes can be our trigger to addiction because we're trying to deal with our anger. We're upset. We want to change our mood. And so we find something that will calm us down. And it could be alcohol, could be cigarettes, could be any number of things that we might see. This is my way of blowing off steam. And it's not a healthy way. It doesn't really solve the problem. It gives us a whole bunch of new problems. So we want to realize that this is not what we want. That it's gonna, we lose so, our anger takes so much from us, and we want to learn to deal with it. And so recognizing the damage our anger can cause, what we do is we do our best to try to manage our anger. And essentially we have this beast within us and we're trying to keep that beast caged. We just say, okay, if I can keep him under control, if I can kind of distract him and just kind of find ways to just manage my anger, then it'll be okay. But this is the thing, we learned about this last Sunday evening when we're looking at the whole idea of temperance. It's the whole thing is, despite our best efforts, self cannot control self. And that's kind of what we find. It's sort of like, you could compare it to us trying to keep like a gorilla in a cage or something like that. Something that's strong, stronger than us physically. Right? That we can do what we can, but if that creature gets angry enough and wants out, how are we going to stop it? And that's sometimes what we find is like we maybe had it good for a while, but then something happens, and it just, we're right back to where we were again. That beast comes out, and we just thought, man, I was doing so good, but this happened, and now I'm back to square one again. And so that's what I want us to kind of think about, is that we want to set our sights higher than just managing our anger. We've got to go beyond that, and that's what God wants us to go beyond, and not just managing it. We want to confront this beast within us, and with God's help, we want to gain victory over it. And really, this is where we got to kind of get to is, because we think I can manage it in my own strength, in my own wisdom. I just need some different self-help books and different techniques. But to actually confront it, to actually gain complete victory where in time that beast goes away, that it's not there anymore. We need God's help to do that. And so we want to learn how to get his help. So, when we're trying to, first of all, confront our anger, we recognize that we're all masters at justifying wrong behavior. We can find an excuse or a justification for just about anything. That it's always, well, I had these good motives in mind. or especially when it comes to anger, we think, well, this was justified because this person did this, and I have a right to be angry over what they did. And so it really becomes something that we have to recognize that is our tendencies. I'm always trying to excuse wrong behavior or say, or minimize it, well, it's not as bad as this person or whatever. But we have to really recognize that tendency within us. And this is the problem with anger, is that we insist that everyone else is making us angry. And so, really, when we understand it, what happens is the people that we damage because of our anger, the people that we hurt the most, they're the victims of our angry outbursts. But yet, we've got it twisted around where they're the culprits. They're the ones to blame. And sometimes we'll even articulate that. Well, if you hadn't done this, then I wouldn't have done that. And it really puts them in a bad relationship, especially a younger, like a child, because they think, well, it's their fault. If I just got been a better person, that wouldn't have happened. And it's kind of the thing, is like, we get angry, we're hurting other people, but we try to play the victim card, where it's like, well, you did this to me, and so you should have known better than to poke the beast in the cage kind of thing. And it's like, it's not them that have to control the beast. It's us that has to deal with that, right? And this is the thing, too. Even if we could legitimately claim our anger was justified, and I would say that there's probably 99.9% of the cases, it's pretty hard for us to make a legitimate claim that our anger was justified. But even if it was, we want to understand is that it's like if something was wrong and we need to right that wrong, our anger should really be like kind of like a very pointed, directed thing, almost like a sniper taking a shot, or like a doctor with a scalpel, just very carefully dealing with a specific issue. But that's not how our anger works. It's basically where instead of like a sniper's bullet, we drop a nuclear bomb, and just boom, and or it's like we need like a very precise cut of a surgeon. Instead, we've got a sledgehammer, and we're trying to fix the problem, right? And it just we're overreacting. We're trying to solve the problem with the wrong tool, and without any kind of focus. And so what happens is it always causes collateral damage. And you just think of Hulk, kind of the picture of that in the comic books, where sure he might save the day, but then the city is destroyed as he's defeated this villain. So who's going to clean up the mess, right? And that's kind of how our anger is. And there's a lot of times there's people who unfairly bear the brunt of it. And this can happen, I think all of us have maybe experienced that, where say something happened at work, we're angry at our boss, and we can't get, like, we can't lose it in front of our boss because then we lose our job. But then we get home and our spouse or kids does something that irritates us and we blow up on them and we're angry at our boss, but we're pouring it all out on the person that's right in front of us because we know that I'm not going to lose my job if I get angry at this person. But we could lose a whole lot more than our job if that's something that we practice. We could lose that relationship with someone that we really care about. And so it's we have to learn to deal with that properly instead of just, I need to vent, and so you're just the unlucky person that got in the way when I needed to vent. And that's, we can't do that. It'd be better to go off, walk into a field somewhere and yell for a while rather than like hurt someone else, right? And so this is important. We have to recognize we get angry not because of what's going on around us, but what's going on within us. And that's something that if we don't ever get to this point of recognizing this truth, we're always going to have a problem with anger. We're never going to get victory. That we can't blame people. We have to say, it's me. There's something within me I have to deal with. And so, with that, we want to understand that the reasons for our anger, it isn't because this person did this or this person was not thinking right. We say, okay, what's going on within me that's causing me to be so angry? And so first of all, it can be pride. It can be, which is an overinflated view of our self-importance. And so a lot of times we get cut off or we have to wait in line, we get mad. And it's like, well, I think I'm so important that I shouldn't have to wait in line, that people should let me go first rather than push their way in front of me. That there's a lot of different things that, and especially we think about when we're, you have a little kid that doesn't get their way and they throw a temper tantrum. That sometimes as adults we can end up throwing a temper tantrum because we're not getting our way. And the sad thing, sometimes we think that as adults that it should work now. It's just not like, and that, I guess that's an important thing as a parent to realize, okay, you don't want to have your child think that this is a way to get anything. Like, you almost want it to go the opposite way. Okay, you threw a fit, you're getting less than what you were hoping for. And so it's really, but we realize that sometimes it's our pride that it just, I think too highly of myself, I'm wanting this for me, this person isn't treating me the way I think I should be treated, so now I'm going to get mad at it. And so it's learning sometimes. We're looking at ourselves wrong. Sometimes it's our desire for control. And a lot of times we want things in our life to work out a certain way. And again, it kind of leads into our pride that I want things my way. And so if things are coming out of control, I want to sometimes use my anger to try to reassert control. And it's sometimes we can use it that way, and we can be very manipulative by our anger. And we have to be very careful of that. But sometimes as well we realize it's because we're panicking, we're kind of scared, and so we get rather than express our fear, we get angry. And we try to get things back the way that we want it to be. Now this is our third one, fear or anxiety, where we're afraid or we're worried. And especially as a guy, we don't want to admit that we're concerned about something. And so it's easier to mask it by being mad. Like, why isn't this happening? What's going to go on? What's the matter with you? Because we're concerned about things that are going to happen in the future, we can react in anger. But as well, it can be depression, a sense of helplessness, where we're feeling frustrated, that nothing's working, nobody's willing to help us, all our efforts seem futile, that it gets us mad and I don't want it to be this way. And so it's kind of the thing, recognizing that anger sometimes can be a symptom of a greater problem, and we want to see that. And so these we kind of understand to be more kind of mental health issues, where we get into an unhealthy state of mind and affects us in different ways. Sometimes as well, we can get angry because really we have unreasonable expectations of others. That we think, well, why doesn't this person have this yet? I know even this last week I was home. We had to run some errands, and I was helping the kids with some things, and I was getting frustrated. I thought, why are they needing my help in this? Shouldn't they know that? But then it's realizing, okay, the age that they're at, I can't assume that they'll have this all figured out yet, this concept. And so it's a lot of times is we have to ask ourselves, am I expecting something that's reasonable or unreasonable of this person based on where they're at, based on what's they have learned in their life, what's built in, and it really, especially for kids, that could be something. If we set too high of expectations that they can never live up to, it makes them feel like, well, I can never please my parents, I'm always a failure, and we don't want to do that. Sometimes it's just a plain lack of patience. It says patience is a virtue, and we want to understand that we need patience. How are we going to learn patience? By getting practice in waiting. And so really kind of learning that sometimes, it's like, okay, and understanding God's plan and all that, I have to wait in line and it's taking longer. Then we say, oh, God's trying to teach me patience. This is a good thing for me to learn. Because a lot of times patience pays off, where you don't give up on something, where you see something through the end. It's worth waiting for, and dealing with sometimes disappointment if you get to the other side. Yes, I've achieved this. I'm so glad that I was patient and stayed through this. But then too, sometimes anger comes because of guilt or shame over personal mistakes and failures in our past. It's something that we did that somebody does something, it triggers a feeling of guilt, and we get upset at that person because of that. I remember one thing we had to read in high school was the play Death of a Salesman. And there is a part in there where he'd come home to his wife, and his wife was mending her stockings, and whenever he saw her do that, he would get mad at her for doing that. And you're just kind of wondering, why is he doing that? But then you find out later in the play that he had actually had an affair, and because he was a salesman of these stockings, and he'd given new pairs to this lady that he had had an affair with, and while his wife was at home mending hers. And so it just, any time that he saw her do this, it made him feel guilty, and so then he got mad at her. And so it was something that really wasn't anything she was doing. It was he was guilty because of something wrong that he had done. And so that happens in many different ways in our lives, that we've got to sometimes just with these different things, just think about it and just identify, okay, why am I getting mad? It has nothing to do with what that person has. It has something going on with me. And so I need to figure that out and deal with it properly. But in terms of overcoming anger, really there's several different principles we can apply with this. Of course, 7 is one, our simple habits do hurt those who follow us. Anger does hurt those around us. But we can apply principle 1 that we learned about tonight, that if God's against it, so am I. And so if God says anger is wrong, that anger is damaging, anger is foolish, anger is a snare, we say, okay, God's trying to point out something to me, I need to listen to him, I need to accept that I should be getting angry. And then number 10, God balances guilt with blame. Accept the blame for your actions, God will remove the guilt. That it's like I have to not say that it's somebody else's fault. I have to admit that, yes, it's my fault, what I'm doing. And so we identify our anger is wrong, it's not justified, and we accept personal responsibility for anger. That's where it really starts, as we learn to overcome that, where we're not saying it's all because of this person did this to me. No, it's because of myself. And so this is some of what the Lord says. And this is, I think, a very valuable verse to remember. Let a man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Nothing good is produced by our wrath. And so we're to be slow to it. We don't want to be known as quick-tempered. We want to have not to be someone that can keep ourselves calm. And so this is Ephesians chapter 4. We're to be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon our wrath. We're try to settle things each day and not just have that bitterness build up. And so bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, we're to put all that away from us. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But that's how he wants us to live. These things need to be put off. That's the old way of living that we need to put away. And then we need to follow after a new way of living, which is kindness and forgiveness. And so, when we recognize that our anger is wrong, recognize our own personal responsibility, then we need to come to God for forgiveness for our anger. Where we confess and says, Lord, I realize what I've done is wrong. Forgive me. Cleanse me from this. But then as well, we also need to make things right with those that we've wronged by our anger. And the sooner we do that, the better. And that's the sad thing is sometimes we get mad and then we're justifying it. And all the time that we wait before we actually say, I'm sorry, that just hurts that person all the more. But the thought too, as we experience God's forgiveness, we need to follow both His example and His command to forgive those we feel have wronged us. That's what He calls us. I want you to forgive as I have forgiven you. That we don't get to experience His forgiveness and not give that same forgiveness to other people. And as well, we need to give up on seeking revenge. If we're not worried about that, we're going to let God deal with that if that's necessary. And I think this is a valuable passage to remember, that we say, okay, vengeance does not belong to me. It belongs to God. If something needs to be settled, I need to let Him settle it in His time. And it shows that we're supposed to actually be kind to our enemy, the one that's mistreated us. And the whole idea of it is not we're not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That if somebody does it wrong, we talked about this previously in the idea of the chain of pain. Someone hurts us, we have to hurt them back. If we can't hurt them back, we're going to hurt someone else. And we pass on that. We just form more and more links in that chain of pain. And instead, what God wants to do is break that chain. Where I say, I'm not going to follow that pattern. I'm instead going to turn around and do good to people. And so we're not overcome with evil, but instead overcome evil with good. And that's really where God wants us to get to. And so this is the thing too, is recognizing we lack the strength not only just to control the beast, but actually to overcome the beast within us. That's really what we needed to do, is it when we see our weakness, when we're weak, we're strong. That it causes us to go to God and to deepen our relationship with Him, because we know we need His help. And as we develop our relationship, He produces within us the fruits of the Spirit that we need. And we see them listed here. And really, when you actually think of these in terms of anger, is that if we have these built into our life, then they will counteract anger. Because if we have love, we're not going to be hating on other people. Right? If we have joy, and in all our circumstances of life, we're not going to get frustrated and upset. If we have peace, things can be crazy around us and difficult, but yet we are still able to maintain that calm of mind. Right? Long-suffering, the idea is that yes, this person is frustrating perhaps, or disappointing that they didn't live up to what they should have done, but I know how I can be patient with them. I'm willing to suffer long for their sake. Instead of being harsh, I can be gentle. Instead of being mean and vindictive, I can show goodness. I can be benevolent towards other people. Where I'm worried about what's going to happen, then instead I can have faith and trust, okay, God's going to sort this out. I don't need to get revenge. He'll take care of it in His time. Meekness is where we have grace under fire, that we're not having to push ourselves forward and fight to have our way, that we're just going to trust God's going to look after us. And then temperance is the idea that we're spirit-controlled in everything, that He has that control over us. And that's really what we're looking for. We talked about that this last Sunday night, that it's not the idea of just self-control, because self can't control self. It's spirit control of self. And so that's the thing. As we stop trying to manage our anger and control ourselves, and instead yield to spirit control in our lives, we can gain lasting victory over our anger. So that's the thing, is if we're going to overcome the beast within, we need something stronger than the beast in order to do that. And it's kind of the thing, is like, you think of the picture that us in comparison to like the Hulk, that we'd say, well, okay, we don't have that strength. But then God, in comparison to the Hulk, he has that strength to overcome that, to basically get victory over that beast within us. And so that's what we need to seek for. If we're not strong enough ourselves, we need his help. And so really, when we see we have a problem with anger, it should drive us to God and say, I need your help with this. Please give me victory. And he, as we do that, as we yield to him, then he is able to give us the victory that we need. And this is another verse. The discretion of the man deferreth his anger, is going to pass over transgression. That discretion has the idea of wisdom and knowing what's right for a given situation. And when the Lord gives us that, it allows our anger to be deferred, where it's kind of like letting the air out of a balloon, where we just are able to calm ourselves down. And it's his glory to pass over transgression. That's what God does for us, right? That we've sinned against him, and in many ways, like it talks about in Lamentations, some of his mercies that we're not consumed. That if he was like a very angry God, like he could snuff us all up, right? But he's compassionate, as he has mercy and compassion, and he passes over a lot of times our transgressions. So he's trying to teach us to do the same thing. That it's our glory when someone's wronged us, and instead of getting upset, that we can just say, it's okay, and we're going to work through this. And that can be so powerful in a relationship where we're not pointing out what someone's mistake is and bringing it up over and over again, but we let it go and it's never brought up anymore. That's how God treats us, and so that's how he wants us to treat others. So, just a few questions to ask ourselves as we try to deal with anger. We catch ourselves getting angry about something. So we say, who or what have I wrongly been blaming my anger on? And we have to take stock on that. It's like, I've been shifting the blame on the wrong person. Two, what would I identify as a true source of my anger? What's going on within me that's causing me to get angry? Sometimes it's maybe I didn't get enough sleep, right? And it's just, maybe if I get more sleep, I won't be grumpy. Just different things like that. We have to identify that. How am I contributing to the problem? Who do I need to seek forgiveness from for my anger? If I've hurt someone, I need to make it right away. And then as well, who do I need to forgive in order to gain freedom from the poison of bitterness? And that's the thing, is that we want to get into really the habit and practice of forgiveness, of seeking forgiveness from God, getting forgiveness of others. That's actually, as the Lord lays out what we would call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, is that each day we're to make sure we get things right between us and God, and then as we've received his forgiveness, we give it to other people. And that's to be a daily pattern of our lives. And then two is, am I willing to submit my life to God so he can give me victory over anger? Am I willing to say, okay, I'm tired of me trying to control myself, I need you to control me? And if we're not willing to submit our lives to him, we need to ask ourselves, well, why not? What's holding me back from doing so? And as we ask ourselves these questions, they can really help us sometimes to just take stock and say, okay, where am I at? Why is this happening? How can I find victory through the Lord? All right, so any thoughts or questions as we conclude? All right. Well, that's the third talk tonight.